Good morning. All right, so real quick, raise your hand, and only raise your hand this morning if you are believing for something. Just want to see. Okay, good. Okay, most everybody here. Because today, what I want to do is I want to sow into your faith. To believe for what it is that you're believing for. As Pastor Ken mentioned, over the past 2 months, we've been going over parables. And I was given the parable of the mustard seed. Go figure, they'll give the guy with 8 children to talk about seed. Now, this isn't the first time we talked about seed. As you know, in Matthew, the 13th chapter, there are 3 parables that Jesus gave where seed was at the center of the parable. There was the sower, right, who sowed seeds, and there was weeds grown. There was also the parable of seeds falling in different type of soil, and then there was this parable. Now, if you follow that chapter, and if you remember what Pastor Ben said about a couple Sundays ago, there were 2 parables that Jesus actually went back and explained to the disciples what those parables meant. He explained what the parable of the seed being sown in different types of soil. He explained what the parable of the seed that was sown and weeds that were grown alongside of it. But this one, the mustard seed, Jesus did not give an explanation of. That one he held for 2,100 years for this day where Elder Gene would come in and explain it to you. So you guys should feel very fortunate. Everyone who has ears here was being spoken of this morning. It was written about me in the scrolls in the 5th chapter of the book of Imaginations and Hesitations. And now you get to hear Gene's explanation of the parable of the mustard seed. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus said, "If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, move, and it'll move for you, and nothing shall be impossible." Has anybody here ever had a hard time believing that verse? I mean, has anybody ever stood before a mountain and said, "Move, move, move," and it didn't move? Is God's word true? Well, I want to kind of help tie the two together, because even though the parable is about heaven being like mustard seed, I want to this morning tie that into our faith. So in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 31, 32, Jesus said, heaven, this is what heaven is like. It's like a mustard seed. And even though it's the smallest of all seeds, it grows to be the largest of all plants. And then it becomes a tree that birds can come and they can perch on. The smallest seed grows to be the largest plant, then becomes a tree that birds can perch on. As I read this parable, I'm seeing Jesus, a part of his nature, and also explaining why a lot of people are going to miss the kingdom of God, and also why a lot of people are not going to move mountains with their faith. First part, it's a seed. It's not just a small seed. It's a seed. When I want something now. I don't want somebody to give me a seed. I mean, do you guys go to Chick-fil-A and say, "Could you please give me the raw meat to take home and cook?" No. "Could you please give me the chicken to take home and to kill and cook?" No, you don't. You say, "Give me the chicken that's what? Ready, made. I want it now." A seed is not something that's now. A seed is something that's what? Later. See, I remember when I was 8 years old, and I was contemplating planting trees. And I was reading a book about a certain type of tree. I can't remember what the kind of tree was. But the book told me that once you plant the seed, it takes about 6 years for the tree to be fully grown. And I remember at the age of 8 thinking, 6 years? My gosh, I'll be 14 years old by that point. I'm not even sure if I'll be alive. I don't know where I'll be. I may not even be here to see this tree ever grow. I didn't plant. I left it. 6 years was beyond my mind. It was beyond my ability of thinking. Like, no, that's going to take too long. 14 years old? I'll never see 14. I can't tell you how many times I've taken my son back to that house and looked at that place where I could have planted that tree. 45 years old. That's multiple 14 years, by the way. But I left it because me, like a lot of us, we want things quick. We want things now. As a matter of fact, the people who Jesus was speaking to wanted heaven to be quick. They said, here he is. He's the Messiah. He's going to bring heaven now. He's going to bring it on earth. And because we believe in him, we're going to have special seats next to him. And everybody who used to pick on us is going to watch us. They wanted heaven now. And Jesus said, heaven is like a mustard seed. I'm giving you this seed. You're going to plant it. You're going to put it underground. And then underground, a miracle is going to happen. Something you can't even understand, but God is doing it. It's going to grow, and it's going to take over. But we want things now. But things that happen quickly don't last. So the Bible says, an inheritance that's quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Things that come up quick, die quick. You know the story of Jonah? That plant that came out quickly and gave him shade also what? Withered quickly. Do you want to believe that you can move mountains? Do you want to believe that God can do anything? I want you to believe this. God does everything. Okay, so this epiphany hit me about a month ago. That to believe that God can do anything, I have to believe that God does everything. Because I have a wrong concept in my mind about what a miracle is and what God does. Good. Okay, so allow me to take a quick drink of water and then explain. When I go to a mountain and I say, mountain, move, fine. If that mountain didn't move, is it because God is not able to make that mountain move? Okay. Here's something else that hit me. When I tell that mountain move, I have to understand that when that mountain stays where it is, that is God's very word that makes that mountain stay where it is. That mountain wouldn't be where it is if God wasn't holding it there. God is the one who set the foundations of the earth, and he spoke a word and said, stay. And it dared not move. God told Job, I told the waters, here are your boundaries. You cannot pass this boundary. You stay right here. Here's your home. And you can't. And the waters stay. That mountain can't move. That mountain can't stay without God's word. Okay, all right. Hopefully I'm not losing you here. The very God that you are speaking to when you say mountain move is the very God that's holding that mountain in place. And if he has the power to hold it in place, he has the power to move it. So you are coming into communion with the maker of heaven and earth. And he is inviting you to know his will. He is inviting you to know his nature. So this past weekend, I was visiting a friend who was having a very hard time with one of his kids. And he says he can't understand what is going on. I said, if you want to believe that God can do anything in your marriage, in your family, and with your son, you've got to believe that God does everything. If you don't believe me, I want you to read the 45th chapter of Isaiah. When God speaks to King Cyrus, he said, let me tell you, there is no other name, there is no other God, it is just me. I do all these things. I bring light, I bring darkness, I lift people up, I bring people down. It is my hand that does everything. There is no other force that God has to contend with. It is him. Folks, this increased my faith. This increased my faith. And what I'm telling him is, let me tell you, when you are having a hard time with your son, when it feels like he's not listening to a single thing that you are saying, you've got to know God is doing this for a reason, not just for him, but for you. God is bringing you into fellowship with him. He wants you to understand who he is as a father and how he goes after his children who are constantly defiant to him. And he's trying to teach you his love. You see, when God's holding that mountain in place and asks you to tell it to move, he's trying to bring you into fellowship with him to understand how God is long-suffering, how God persists, how God keeps going, how he doesn't give up, and how he knows his will be done. And let me tell you, God said if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move, and what? It will move. Listen to this. Faith that stays a seed will not move mountains. Good, good. What God is giving us is a seed. We have to take that seed, and we have to plant that seed. And it has to go underground and let God's miraculous work. See, this is something that my flesh don't want to hear it. I want to say mountain move so it could move, and then people would talk about me on TV. Gene June said mountain move, and the mountain move. Yeah. When that seed fell to the ground, that seed died. God was doing something underground where no one could see, but God was doing something. When you ask God for something, he gives you a seed. Like, what is that? I didn't ask for the seed. I said, God, no money. I got a big problem. I keep asking for a quick million. God, give me a quick million. If you could give me a quick $1 million, that Renovate 23, that's taken care of. I'll take care of it. I'll support all the missionaries. Come on, God, give me a quick million. He never gives me a quick million. You know what God does? He sits me down in front of the computer. He says, okay, I'm going to give you a seed. Okay, look at the money that you have sitting in your bank account, in your checking account for the entire month until you wait and see what you have left. Then you move it to your savings account. Why do you do that, Jane? Move the money to your savings account first. Then at the end of the month, you'd have made 2 cents. Because the savings account pays interest and the checking account doesn't. I'm like, God, I ain't got time for this. 2 cents. No, I got big bills. I got 8 kids. This is real problems. And God is saying, I'm trying to give you a real solution. This will come together, y'all. This will come together. Watch. I promise. Watch. This will come together. So most people miss it because they want it now, and they don't understand that God likes to work through his principles. It's the principle of a seed. The second part is, he says, this mustard seed grows to be the largest of all plants. Second point, heaven takes over. Believe it or not, this is why a lot of us really don't pursue God. Because this small mustard seed, this small little thing, will probably take over all this front space here. Okay, all right. What do I mean? Okay, this is what I mean, okay? We want God to touch our lives, but we don't want God to get all up in our lives. Come on. It used to be me. Okay, all right. I want to think I used to be as handsome as Nelson. Like, listen, I'm telling you, I've been going to this church for 25 years. I used to sit right here, his age, that chair. We haven't changed chairs since then. That's why we need to renovate 2023. We need new chairs. I sat on that chair. Single man, wanted God to give me the woman of glory. He did. But let me tell you, I was afraid that God was going to send me to like some foreign country and make me marry the bald-headed, one-handed woman just to do his will through my life. I know you're laughing, but you may have had those thoughts. I wanted God's blessing, but I was afraid what full faith might take me. Like, he might tell me to go to the nations. He might tell me to give to the poor. He might tell me to sell my car. Like, he might tell me those things. I was afraid. I really was. Because I wanted God in a part of my life, but I wasn't quite sure what it would mean if he took over. You see, faith, like a mustard seed, where it's not you control, but God controls. It starts from underground, it grows up, and it begins to take over. Suddenly, you can't control that mustard plant when it starts to grow. It just goes. See, God didn't say like that. He said, if you take that seed and you plant it, it'll grow and take over, and nothing will be impossible for you. So some of you guys know that I do coach soccer. I remember several years ago, Kenyon has a better memory than I do, but it was way before any of this started. And we were driving in our van, and there was a guy in a small sedan ahead of us, and he must have had like 35 soccer balls in his car. I mean, it was the soccer balls in him. That was it. And I remember looking over to him. I said, man, that's a lot of soccer balls. How in the world he fit all that in the car? And then when I started coaching little league soccer, I had one team. And then the next year, because I have a lot of kids, I was coaching two teams. And the next year, I was coaching three teams. And then I was coaching four. And then I was coaching five teams. And then not only was I coaching five teams, but I was mentoring other people's teams. I used to have like two soccer balls in the garage. Then go to three and to five. I think right now we have probably about 80 soccer balls in the garage. God took a little something, and it's now taking over our house. It's everywhere. My wife gets like, when will this end? It's all over the place. You see, God wants to bless you and take over. But we are a little afraid as far as what that might mean. Lastly, it says it becomes a tree that birds can come and perch on. Now, this gets right into, I guess, the selfish nature of who we are. We really just want a little blessing for us. We weren't really asking God to have birds come and perch on us. What do I mean? Okay, all those soccer balls in the garage, through that, God launched a nonprofit youth sport leadership development organization. Now, in the past, I want to tell you, in the past, I've started like other little small businesses. But here's the thing, like when I started something, it was just in my name, just a little something for me. And when I was done with it, I was done with it. Yeah, I did for a little bit. Yeah, okay, I'm done. It's getting too much work. Going something else. And I remember at one point, things had gotten so hard with this, I said, that's it. This is too much. I'm done. We're shutting down. And I got up and realized, I just can't do that. I just can't do it. This isn't just 12 kids anymore that I'm asking to come to the playground and play. We've got 280 players. We've got over 150 families that are part of this thing. There are a lot of people who are perched up. There are a lot of people who are eating from this tree that God has grown. Are you believing for money? Anybody here like me want that quick million? Do you believe that God wants to sow you to the ground, to grow you up, take over your life, and then make you a permanent place that people can come and count on? Good. You see, the need that God is creating in you isn't just for you. There are so many people that are going to come and eat from your fruits. Mm-hmm. Listen, God does everything. It sounds weird, but God does everything. God sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And then God hardened Pharaoh's heart so Pharaoh wouldn't change. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so Pharaoh wouldn't change. Does God bring difficulties in your life? Yes. But here's what you have to understand. Your enemy, the deceiver, comes to deceive you of God's intent of doing what he does. Very good. Very good. And that's why most of us want to think, oh, no, God doesn't do that. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But see, God has good reasons for doing everything. If you could stop complaining and say, God, okay, having faith means you take over my life. It means if you're going to do something in me, it means at a point in time, I may be underground and hidden because you're doing a work in me. Okay, so let me tell y'all a secret, okay? Let me tell y'all a secret, all right? Like, man, how can Elder Gene come up and speak like that, right? How can you do it? Okay, let me tell you. Give you a little secret. And I'm confessing this for the first time in front of my wife. For 4 years, this woman named Martha Miller had me here cleaning this church. Every square inch of it. And she would investigate afterwards. When I say everything, I mean the sanctuary, I mean the bathrooms, I mean scrubbing on my hands and knees. She worked it. And I learned how to clean this church. And I know after every Sunday when Pastor Ron was on fire and he had people like nervous, I could tell because I was vacuuming up so much torn up fingernails from the ground. Like, man, Pastor Ron preached. And I would be here by myself often cleaning this church all by myself clean this church. And then when I was done, I would come up here. And I would speak to these empty chairs.
Come on, brother. Come on.
I spoke to every empty chair like there was somebody in it.
Come on.
And I believe for people who are going to be sitting in these chairs now, I was speaking. But y'all should be able to see it. It was revival. I'm telling you, when I was done, every last person came up, they were on their hands and knees, and they were repenting. God was doing something in me underground where nobody couldn't see. Are you letting God take you to those places? Are you willing to humble yourself and let God just come in and take over? That's the thing with the seed. You have it, and all you can do is plant it. After that, God takes over, full control. If you let God do that, if you're willing to let him do that, let me tell you, the day will come, you will look back and say, oh, I did pass 14.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at all the things that God has done. And God wants to do that in you.
Amen.
Close your eyes. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this word. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you do everything for good reasons, for good intentions. Your word says you work everything for the good of those who are called. You work everything for our good. It doesn't matter difficulties or trials. It doesn't matter what it is. We know that we are safe in your hands. And we don't have to fear anything at all whatsoever. Father, I pray this morning, Jesus, as we raise our hand before this message began and we confess that we are believing for something, that we will receive from you the seed that you're giving us, however small it may be. We will take it and we will sow it and allow you to work it, grow it, take over. We give you our full lives today, Jesus. We don't want to do it at our pace and our control. We want to do it to bring you glory and to bring you pleasure. And I pray you help those today, Lord God, that are just, they're right there. They're right there. They really want to believe. They really want to step out. The enemy is the one who's lying to them. The enemy was the one who's telling them that you have bad intentions, but Lord, you don't. You have good intentions. Lord, help them to step out. Make that pledge. Give. Sow in, like Abby was saying today. They would sow in and watch you grow. If that is you, want to take that seed, and you want to stop saying bad things about the seed, and you want to receive it and accept it from the hand of God, and you want to sow it in today that God would take over. If that is you, then I invite you to take that step and raise your hand. And Lord, those who are raising their hands, I pray, God, that you put another seed in their hand right now. Even as they raise it up and open their palms to you, I pray you put even another seed in there. And Lord, as they sow it, Father, I pray you give them the encouragement, Lord God, to keep going and believe. The day will come, they'll look back, and they will see how far that mountain moved. In Jesus' name.